Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Week in Reading List from Money Talking. Hello, I'm Charlie Herman. With me, Jonah Serre with The New York Times and Rana Fruhar with Time Magazine. This week, Rana, what are you reading?
Well, I'm actually reading, to be a little bit wonky, a study from the Brookings Institute. It's on a sexy topic, though, which is money and well-being. You know, we've read a lot about happiness economics in recent years. And one of the big pieces of conventional wisdom, it comes from an economist, Richard Easterlin, who in the 70s famously came up with this idea that basically once you hit a lower middle class level of income, $25,000, $40,000, depending on what era you're talking about and what country, you actually don't get any happier for making more money, right? You know, if you're making 80, if you're making 100.
Money can't buy happiness.
Money can't buy happiness. And, you know, there's particularly post-crisis, there's been an entire school of economic thought built up around that. You've had countries like France and Bhutan, you know, kind of famously trying to rejigger their entire measures of GDP to account for well-being. But actually, Brookings has done another look at these numbers, and they're saying that actually money does buy happiness, and that link carries across all different countries, and that even though it starts to diminish as you get wealthier in terms of the gain of well-being, that you do get happier incrementally, excuse me, as you get wealthier. So
Of the studies show also that there may be a relation to how much money you make compared to your peer group?
The keeping up with the Joneses thing is absolutely true, and we feel that profoundly in New York, or at least
you know, if you make more than
I do.
I know a certain billionaire who wasn't a billionaire once upon a time, who shall remain nameless, who was really bitter back when he was only worth $100 million because all his other friends were billionaires.
You know, but speaking of people who were billionaires and millionaires, I'm going to be reading the New York Times Magazine this week. Andrew Ross Sorkin has a profile of Bob Dimon, who was the former CEO of Barclays, who basically lost his job over the LIBOR scandal. And it's a great picture of him taking the subway to work like the rest of us schmoes. And it's a profile of him and sort of what his life is like now post losing sort of this pinnacle of British bankerdom and what his life is now and what he's doing,
you know,
and sort of looking back on
another economic bit of conventional wisdom. It's much more painful to lose a dollar than to gain one. So I feel sorry for Bob.
Joe, what are you reading?
Well, my good friend and former co-author, really, Bethany McLean, has a co-authored piece in the current Vanity Fair about Stevie Cohen and SAC and the government's efforts to nail him for insider trading. And there is nobody smarter about Wall Street and nobody more plugged in about Wall Street than Bethany, even though she now lives in Chicago. And so I am avidly looking forward to reading this piece, and out of which I fully expect to finally understand what's going on with the federal government and SAC.
Well, if you want to join us and read any of these stories, let us know what you think about them and leave a comment here on the website or talk to us at Twitter at Money Talking. And if you have any suggestions of what you think we should check out, let us know. We'd love to hear it. Don't forget, you can download the podcast of Money Talking for free on iTunes. This week, Joe, Ron, and I talk about Apple and the corporate tax structure. I know it may sound a little dry, but it's actually really important to what companies are doing with the millions and billions of dollars that they're making and keeping overseas, not bringing back to the U.S. Rana Fruhar with Time Magazine and Joe Nocera with The New York Times, thanks so much for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Herman. This is Money Talking from WNYC.